Welcome to Life's Issues with Lauren Jano, a show created to help you tackle life's greatest issues, from personal development to relationships, health, and business. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lauren Jano.
Hey everyone, welcome to Life's Issues with Lauren Jano. I'm your host, Lauren Jano, coming to you live all the way from Toronto, Canada, every Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tough Talk Radio. I'm so happy you're joining me here again today. You know, as a certified international high-performance coach, my mission is to help as many people as possible transform themselves so that they are consistently living their best, most authentic, fulfilled, purposeful, happiest, and successful life. Not a tall order, but that's what I'm all about. So in addition to bringing you experts from around the world every week to discuss a range of topics from personal development to health and business and spirituality, relationships and psychology, I'm also going to take a few minutes each week to share with you a high-performance coaching highlight and what I coach my clients on, all with the intention of inspiring and transforming you to a bolder life. So my high-performance highlight for this week is actually in regard to a conference I just came back from. So I was just in California for the High Performance Academy, which Brendan Burchard puts on twice a year, and that's who I'm certified through and who I work with. And, you know, there were over 900 people there for 4 days, just from literally 9 o'clock in the morning till 7:30 at night, just going, and the energy and the intensity and the excitement and the passion from everyone was literally like off the charts. Like, seriously, I think we could have taken the roof off that hotel. And, you know, just learning new strategies, you know, Brendan sharing new scientific insights into, you know, what makes us tick and why we have the behaviors that we do and how we can change them was just, you know, always phenomenal to get that new, most current information. And, you know, the thing that came to mind while I was speaking to people there and just seeing everyone's excitement, and there were a lot of new people, some people returning, you know, and people, a lot of people there asked me, you know, what's my one, if I could give them one piece of advice, what would it be as they head home and, you know, go back into their real life where you're not surrounded by, you know, 1,000 people that are like-minded, that are on the same mission, have the same values, and trying to accomplish, you know, the same thing. And my biggest takeaway or piece of advice that I had from that for them was their commitment to continuing to implement whatever it is that they've learned over the 4 days or whatever had struck them as most relevant for them. Because, you know, I've been going to these kinds of conferences and personal development things, oh my gosh, like probably for a decade now, and often seeing the same people there and just noticing how people don't change and they don't shift. And, you know, they come there thinking that those 4 days is going to give them a quick fix and by osmosis they're going to be different. And it really doesn't work like that. You need to put in the work. And, you know, I was just chatting with a client on the phone now as well just before this and explaining and sharing with her how it's not how big a change you make that makes the difference. It's not how dramatic that change is that's going to turn your life around. It's really how consistent you are in applying that change. And the reality is it's often the small little things that we do on a consistent basis that actually give us the best results over the long term. And so I just wanted to share that with you and for you to think about, you know, what are the changes that you are trying to implement in your life? What are the things that you you want to see different and are maybe frustrated that it's not happening, and for you to take an honest look at a couple of things. One is how much attention are you giving that thing? You know, are you just thinking about it when it's convenient, when it suits you, you know, randomly, or are you truly focused and committed to it? So that's the first thing. And the other thing is, you know, what's your level of expectation? You know, do you actually believe that this is something that you can do and that you can accomplish? Because that's going to influence your commitment to it. And then also look at what is your emotional connection to it. Because if it's not really important, if it doesn't mean a lot to you, if there's not a good reason to do it, then you're also going to lack that attention to it. And so to really think about those things, and I know we unbelievably are already getting to the end of the year, and to think about what were your goals and ambitions and dreams on January 1st when, you know, the ball was dropping and the fireworks were going off and you were all excited, like at a conference in the hype of the moment, that you're going to do all these amazing things with the best of intentions. And to think about now where it's nearing the end of October, how many of those things have you stuck with? How many of those things have you stayed consistent with? And unfortunately, for most people, it's a minuscule percentage that have been able to follow through. So my biggest message for you today in coming off what I, you know, just coming out of the probably the best event I've ever been to, bar none, is, you know, what is your commitment and consistency level in applying the things that you want to see different in your life? And my hope is that you will relook at that, and wherever it's at, to know that there's always a level that you can up it, and there's always room for improvement. And I hope you take the time to reflect on that and then take consistent and intentional action towards that. So that's my high performance highlight for this week. And before I introduce my first guest, who I'm super excited to have on the show again, third time on the show by popular request and demand, and so grateful that she's available to be with us, I just want to make sure that you know how you can be a part of the conversation. Just call in to 347-989-1363 at any time. Press 1, and my producer, Tony, will bring you onto the show, and you can, you know, comment, ask questions, and participate. And then, of course, you can always listen in online by going to lifesissueswithlaurenjourno.com. And we'd definitely love to have you join us live or after the show, where you can download recordings on iTunes. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I will bring up my first guest for today.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Lauren
Morangiano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjohnno.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life's Issues with Lauren Giorno, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Giorno, and I am so excited to once again introduce my guest, Ellen White. Ellen is a professional life coach, public speaker, author, TV host, and certified Imago facilitator, and I have to add a side note to that. She's also the best neighbor, friend, and coach I have ever had the blessing to have in my life. She has the incredible gift of being able to channel and tap into the depths of the real inside work that needs to be done in order to change outside results. And Ellen combines her incredible range of skills and commitment to clear communication and compassionate coaching with a side of accessible metaphysics to help her clients live as the best and to live as their best and truest self. And I know this firsthand to be true because Ellen's my coach. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be back. I love that you keep inviting me back. This is great.
Awesome. We love having you on the show. So, what's been happening with you? Anything? Are you seeing anything common with any of your clients at the moment? Anything?
Actually, that's a great place to start and a great question. I mean, I'm always in the work I do. It seems like every week there's a different theme, or maybe it's just because that's what I'm noticing that week. But this week, actually, has a particularly interesting theme for me. And it really came from two different clients that I've been working with, one for several years, one just over a year. Both happen to be male clients, and both came to me through their wives. I work with their wives, and then through the relationship coaching and work that I do with couples, they came to me, but I now work with them individually.
Right.
And, I mean, I want to give a big shout-out to them. Obviously, I can't name them for confidentiality reasons, but energetically, they'll get this big shout-out and kudos to them. Both in the last few months have had significant shifting and progress in their desires. Both of these men suffered from depression and pretty severe anxiety when they came. Coming to do coaching and counseling is something that they would never do in their lives if it wasn't for the fact that their relationship actually got to the point where their issues were causing so much trouble in the relationship, it put the relationship on the line. It's amazing what we'll do, right?
Yeah.
Out of desperation, a wonderful growth opportunity emerges. And so they both started coming to me to do that personal work with the goal of saving the relationship. And, of course, when I'm working with someone, in order to save the relationship, we need to actually help them and how they're showing up in that relationship and become aware of what they're contributing and help them with the things that they're struggling with. And so what made me, what made them stand out to me this week is, one, because they had these great shifts. It's always such a privilege. It's actually almost a weeping moment.
It's just
a palpitating moment when you can hear in their voice the shift, the change, when, you know, the synapses connect and they get it and that awakening happens. But I was asking myself the question, what is it that they're doing? Because I don't see that all the time. I mean, I wish I could say every client had those same results, but they don't.
Right.
And one of the things, though, that both these gentlemen have is an amazing commitment and level of perseverance.
Mm.
There's so many times in their journey, you have to remember, these are people who have high anxiety for a reason. They have belief systems. They are avoiding coaching for a reason.
Right.
They're hiding. They didn't want to explore those parts. through the sessions and doing the work, they are being pushed up to their growth edge all the time. And there are times, I mean, that edge was pushed. And there are times when I thought, oh, my God, I think they may quit. They may take an exit strategy.
Right.
But what I love about them is they didn't. Actually, as a matter of fact, one of those, you know, you have those hard sessions.
Mm-hmm.
There's those sessions where they get challenged just a little bit more when something, as it comes up, is ready to be sort of plucked and worked on and is really extra challenging for them. And instead of dropping out, which I see a number of people do, they come back the next session having thought about it, having sort of journaled on it, having worked with it, and ready to move forward with even that much more gumption and gusto.
Right.
And it pays off. Anytime, and I mean, it's these two men that are standing out, but it's all my clients, males, females, it doesn't matter what the age is. The clients that stick with it, that don't allow their saboteur to say, no, I don't think this is for me, this isn't working, and let that exit strategy reign and
right.
cancel them out of it, whether I don't have the money. And I should also say, these are people who particularly aren't well off, because my service is a paid service. I even admire it that much more, where they make that mm-hmm. money the priority.
Investment, yeah.
That they make it the priority, they make the investment. They are. It's another way of demonstrating a commitment to themselves. And honestly, whenever I have clients like that, I've never seen it not pay off.
Mm. So what do you think it is that causes some people to stick with it and to just keep pushing, you know, working and working and working at something when, they, as you say, there's so many times they could just bail out,
mm-hmm.
and those that do. And it's probably tough to generalize, but...
You know, I mean, because there's a number of factors. One is a readiness factor.
Right.
Where sometimes we just have beat ourselves, we've hit our head against that wall so many times that we're just in that place where we say, all right, here, I'm letting it all go. It's sort of a surrender moment, and I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really ready. So there's that level of commitment. When, in this case, those two gentlemen, there was something really important to them on the line, and that was
right.
love. That
yeah.
was the relationship. That was their family. So there's a huge tie to that. There's a huge incentive. So for them, that was now something that they didn't want to look at, even when their partners that were asking them to work with them on it. Now, at the risk of losing it, no is not an option anymore. So they have persevered. And then there's just those people who just, you know, you have that determined
mm-hmm.
attitude. So you get some of those, too, who just, when they make their mind up, they're just really good. They have the focus, and they stick with it. And then there are those who work at focus. I mean, I do have those clients who I can see start off sort of waffling back and forth, wavering on their commitment. And then by bringing their conscious awareness and showing them about their choices and how that ends up, they end up on that path.
Right.
And then the other ones, though, sometimes the fear is just too big. We're working with, you know, as coaches, we're working with people's belief systems. And that saboteur inside is very sneaky.
It
and
is.
And it's very real feeling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so it's sometimes not the right time.
So, you know, you mentioned that one of the things these two clients were struggling with was anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just see so much of that today, like
yeah.
just with all the pressures and the stresses, and I know, like even for myself, like I go through moments where, in times where my anxiety is through the roof, and clearly blacking out while driving was one of them. Thank goodness that panned out okay. But talk about having your face to the wall.
Literally.
Yeah. So in terms of helping people manage anxiety, any things that you can share in terms of what they can, like tips or tools
mm-hmm.
or things to consider to help them manage it better?
I have several. I mean, one is obviously to get the right support and help. And you don't wait till you have your anxiety attack to start implementing your tools and
right.
learn about it, because you can't actually do that while you're in the midst of anxiety.
Yes.
The time to actually learn that is when you have those periods where your anxiety has subsided. Or has decreased, and going out and building those tools so that they are available to you when you need them.
Right. So, as they say, when emotions goes up, intelligence typically goes down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So,
we go into our reptilian brain, we go into fight or flight, and it becomes...
not a good point time to be making big decisions.
Yes, exactly. And then these tools take time to learn because they are... If they were within you and they were intuitive within you, you'd be using them.
Right.
And so you have to take it's repetition and learning and taking time to understand them, the consistency, deepening your connection to them. So that they, because of what you just said, Lauren, because when you're in anxiety, you actually don't have access to the higher processing part of your brain and function, that these tools really sort of need to be innate and second nature for you to be able to access them.
Right.
You're not going to have the thinking capacity to now implement that. What are those steps again? What do I do?
Yes. And so that's why it's important to consistently use them, not just for the crises that happen in our life, but
everything.
For the little things along the way. So as you say, you build that memory to become second nature almost.
Very much so. And then the other thing is to keep those tools simple. Because again, when you're having anxiety, you're not in a state of mind for complex tools.
Right.
They need to be simple. I like, even for myself, I like to keep things just like one word, like breathe.
Right.
Just the word breath or breathe. And sometimes, you know, what you can do is you can just have that sticky note around or put it somewhere so you can look at it and you can remind, right, breathe. I just need to stop and take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is probably one of the most effective tools you can use anytime, whether it's just high stress, actual anxiety attack, because the breath is a pattern interrupter. It literally allows you the time. Breath is life. So you breathe. When you have anxiety, think of it as you're squeezing off life.
Right.
Which is what is, you know, represented in anxiety. That breath is a pause to that pattern. It breathes life back in, and it just creates a crack. Just big enough now to then insert that tool, and that tool could even just be a new perspective or a what if in terms of possibility, or, you know, who can I call for help right now?
Yeah. And on a physiological level, literally, you know, when you measure it with like biofeedback, it decreases the physical stress response that's happening in your body, which we don't even know is happening.
Yes.
And cumulatively, that's what my people suddenly have a heart attack.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so it helps with that as well. So breathing. Right?
Breath is
simple breathing, yeah.
Simple breathing is a really good thing you can do with anxiety. And then another thing you can do to help with anxiety is start practicing getting in touch with your emotions so you know what they are and you're naming them. A lot of what's behind anxiety, as you said, is a big emotional response to something, especially when we've learned to suppress our emotions. Just because we suppress them and we're not aware of them doesn't mean we're not experiencing them. And often what I find is the people I work with who have anxiety are very sensitive souls. And when they experience emotions, they really experience emotions. But they've learned as a coping mechanism to compartmentalize them or shut them down and not even sometimes register them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the better you can get in touch with yourself and learning to just name it will help you to feel in control, and then you know what's going on, and then you're dealing with. And then, again, you can have specific strategies or tools and options and possibilities that help decrease anxiety.
Yeah. And so it kind of, you know, it makes me think of that saying, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to do it, but it's the other thing to recognize, as you say, what is the fear?
Yeah.
Because if you just go and blindly do it, well, great, you did it. You know, jumped, you know, did whatever, did your bungee jumping or whatever.
Or push up room, did the work, did that presentation.
Right, whatever. It's like, phew, done, and you think you're fine. But not really, because the next time that comes up, the same anxiety is going to come up. Whereas if you feel what it is, and as you say, name it, then you can work on that.
Yes.
And then over the long term, bring that level of anxiety down.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then one more thing, too, for anxiety, just because we are in this technological age, another thing that actually adds to anxiety is phone use, computer use. It is a frenetic type of technology. When you have that ding coming in, when you have that email coming in, when we have brings up all kinds of beliefs. Someone can send you something, it can impact you, but it's that frenzy or craziness that can come with too much coming at you at once. And literally just physically, visually looking at the screen for some people can be a trigger. It can be a trigger, I know, for me, for migraines, but it also can be for anxiety. So limiting your screen time, if you're starting to get anxious, the idea is to start to get good at noticing as early as possible, starting to detect when you're heading towards that anxious space before you can get an anxiety attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe stepping away from your computer, doing the breath work, using the tools then. But sometimes what people don't realize is actually our technology leads to more anxiety when misused.
Yeah.
And used unconsciously.
Yes. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was, you know, when you mentioned that crack, that, you know, just to kind of, where you breathe to get that crack to...
the pattern interrupter,
to get in there, is to then just, you know, simple question is, like, in the big scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
like, how, like, serious is this really?
Yeah.
You know, like... Because most times we over-analyze, we over, you know, dramatize, you know, like we just make things into to be more significant than they are.
Yeah.
Whereas if we just stop to consider that, you know, we'll wake up to probably the next day and won't even think about it.
One of my favorite things to say along that line, one of my things I tell myself when I'm starting to freak myself out and if I'm starting to feel anxious, is I will do that, I will take that breath. And then I remind myself, I'm just feeling something. I'm not going to die.
Right.
I'm not going to die. Because literally, when we go into that fight or flight, it does go back within a nanosecond. It literally leads down the path if we follow the thought process to, and then I die.
Right.
So it does help to calm, you know, to sort of combat that and cool that by saying, okay, I'm not going to die.
And considering probably most of the listeners have been around for a couple of decades.
Yes.
Clearly we're all still here and, you know, maybe kicking and screaming, but we're here. And then at the same time to also, you know, in that nanosecond to remind yourself that you'll figure it out. You know, for the most part, we are all capable, you know, intelligent people. And if we can't figure it out ourselves, we'll find someone who can help us.
Absolutely.
But that... There is a solution.
There is, and I mean,
most of the time.
Actually, there is always a solution. It's just, it's different for everyone, which is why there's no one-size-fits-all solution, one book that someone can read, one coach or therapist someone could go to. It's a process that is part of the growth and growing edge of each individual person, but that perseverance absolutely pays off, absolutely. I wholeheartedly believe we can have what we want to have if we will just continue to be persistent and persevere and patient.
I was going to say, I am not good at being patient.
And that does
create anxiety because I want answered results like yesterday. And then as soon as they're not coming in, I'm starting to think, well, what the hell fell apart here? And nothing. It's just not everyone's on my timeline, you know, not everyone's on my speed train.
Well, what's interesting is we lose patience when, of course, when you're uncomfortable, you have some pain going on, no one wants to take any longer than necessary to get in the
right.
Pain.
That's true. That's
so, of course, you know, we want that. But when you think about it logically, the reality of it is we didn't get to this pain place overnight. We actually have been building, and for most of us, not even, you know, months, we're talking years, many years, decades, even for some people. So here we spend all this time reinforcing a behavior and a pattern, so much so that it's unconscious now. We're not even sure where it came from or where it started or what we even link it to.
Yeah.
And then we have the experience of that pain is actually saying, hey, I tried to tell you a long time ago in much gentler ways how you were approaching your life wasn't serving you. But you weren't listening, so the higher self says, well, I'm going to turn up the volume, and then eventually we get these anxiety attacks. And so now it's a bigger train to turn around. It's like a big ship we have to turn around, and it doesn't turn around on a dime.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's not wise to turn around on a dime.
That's true. That is very true. It kind of reminds me of what Oprah says, is that, you know, the universe will first, it will whisper, and then it will talk,
and then it will shout, and then it will hit you over the head, put a wall in front of you, you know. And so, like, at which stage do you want to listen, right? Because when it's getting to shouting, like, it's
a
different story.
It is, and it's that much harder when you're actually in full-blown anxiety most of the time. It's just, it's a more tedious, harder journey.
And then the one last thing before we wrap up that it came to mind as you were talking about, that there's, everyone's different and there's no one strategy for everyone. And I find that not recognizing that in itself can create anxiety, because, you know, you see these books or these, you know, programs or whatever that, oh, just do these things and you'll be fine. And then you maybe do them and it doesn't work for you. And then you feel like, that creates even more anxiety. You feel that because it's working for everyone, there's something wrong with you, that it's not working for you. And that's not the case.
No.
It's almost, it's less chance of that working for you the way it is than not. And so, again, just to recognize that.
And, again, that come back to that perseverance piece again. And then sometimes we're drawn, I mean, the more you can trust your intuition, the more you can say, oh, I really resonate with that person. And then also trust your gut, though, for how long you need to work with that person. Sometimes it's just one concept, one idea, one piece, one story, and you're done, and you've got that piece, and now you need another piece they can't give you. When you're trying to put it all together, all the puzzle pieces, it doesn't all come from one place. And sometimes you'll work with someone, I mean, you could be working with them for a lifetime. But it, that your intuition is a really good guiding system. And you'll know, you should be seeing results. You should be seeing improvement. You should feel like there's something progressing, even when it's hard underneath. And then, you know, anyone who's been through that knows it's hard, but you know you're actually working on something tangible, meaningful, and you're on the right track.
Awesome. Ellen, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, like I think we're gonna have to have a show together. And just
never enough time.
There's never enough time. But thank you so much, and I know you're gonna be back on later this month again. Hopefully Jeff will be with you.
My husband Jeff will be there.
Your
absolutely.
Partner in crime.
He's always so jealous when he can't make it.
I know.
He's out coaching today.
So thank you so much. And if you can just quickly tell us where our listeners can connect with you or find out more about you if they want to work with you.
Absolutely. The easiest is to go to my website, which is Ellen White, and that's white just like the color, so ellenwhite.ca.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I will be back with my second guest for today.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life's Issues with Lauren Giorno, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Giorno, and I'd love to introduce my second guest, Dr. Mikkel Harris. Dr. Harris is a licensed psychologist and nationally certified health service provider, associate professor, community advocate, volunteer, and mentor in Los Angeles, California. In her professional work, Dr. Harris focuses on health and wellness and has a particular interest in providing therapy and training in the area of grief and loss. Personally, she enjoys traveling all around the world, and I am so excited to have her on the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Harris.
Hi, it's so great to be on the show today. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So I've just shared a little bit with the listeners about what you do and your background. Is there anything that you would love to add to that, just to give them a different insight into what you do?
Yeah, I live a really fascinating and fun life. So as you mentioned, I work as an associate professor. That's kind of my full-time position, teaching doctoral students, trying to learn about clinical psychology. And then I also work in private practice in downtown LA and also near a local university, working with children, families, and adults for an array of issues. And on top of that, I do consultation and traveling and presenting on a whole host of health and wellness topics. So it's really fun. No day is the same, and I love that.
Awesome. It sounds like my life, and I can tell and hear that you're just as passionate about what you do as I am, I'm sure. So when you and if you think about it, most people are not. Most people do not love what they do. They are kind of just going through the motions in life. And what would you say from your work and experience, what impact that does that have on our mental and physical health? You know, on the one hand, being passionate and happy and enjoying what you do, and on the other hand, not so much.
I think you hit it right on the head, in the sense that our society really trains us to really take a linear path towards what we do. And so most folks really, as you mentioned, are not connecting their passion with how they actually live out their day-to-day experience. And when that happens, well, what can happen is that people will start to feel literally depressed from an emotional perspective, but also physically. And so it is so important that people really begin to think about, okay, what am I experiencing internally? What are my internal core passions and interests? And how can I connect what's happening on the inside with what's going on the outside? Not just going through the motions, because, again, that leads to very monotonous routine life where people are feeling depressed, they're feeling overwhelmed, they're feeling unappreciated. And that doesn't really create an environment where people are feeling inspired. And the truth is, Lauren, if we're not feeling inspired by what we do, it's hard to inspire someone else when we don't feel that zeal inside of us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it really has to have that connection between the two.
So how do you, or what would you advise people in terms of how they can make that connection? Because I think people probably even have a hard time comprehending that. Like, where do I even start to do that? Or how do I even start to do that? Any suggestions or insights for them on that?
Yeah, so over the past 15 years, I have worked with children, families, and adults. But in my work with kids, it's so fascinating because children really embrace just a wholehearted, present-focused experience without being concerned about what's coming up next. And I think that we have a lot to learn from children in terms of attacking life, waking up, engaging and experiencing the moment-by-moment situations without worrying about what the next thing is. Part of the issue, I think, with adults is that we've lived enough life, and so we know that what's happening now might impact what's going to come up next. And so instead of us wholeheartedly living in the moment, we're thinking about this chain of events that's going to occur to the point where sometimes we work ourselves up into this stress ball, and we're feeling overwhelmed, we're feeling taxed. And again, that doesn't really create a nice breeding ground for passion to thrive. So the first tool that I would recommend is to tap into our childlike experiences. One of my most favorite things to do, which I'm sure I look silly when I'm on planes and in different places, is I love to color. And
Me too. I also do. Yeah.
Yes. They recently, there've actually been some adult coloring books, and
yes.
It's really great because I think it's just an open canvas. You can do whatever you want. Who cares about coloring in the lines? And it's this great opportunity to simply just have fun without any boundaries. And I think those types of activities remind us that life is not that serious, that we don't have to live in this rigid way, that we can just have fun. Other things like dancing, that's another one of my favorite things to do, is just to go out and experience our bodies. Because when we're dancing, unless we are a robot, we are able to move freely and experience what it's like to just freely move in our environment, in our atmosphere. And that flow really helps to churn and excite things that are on the inside of us. So tapping into our childlike experience and doing things that allow for flow is probably my number one recommendation to kind of ignite passion.
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that because one of the things that I do just to, like, you know, just kind of get in the moment, de-stress and, you know, do all those things is I have a mini trampoline in my office. And, you know, in between clients or in between sessions, I'll just get on and jump on it for 5 minutes and, like, literally as I put my foot onto it, I'm even smiling just thinking about it. Like, I just have, like, it's such a release for me and it's such fun. And and it's so, again, it comes back to actually what Ellen and I were speaking about earlier, my previous guest, is to find that thing that brings that joy to you. It's not going to be the same for everyone.
No, it's not. And find what it is. Yeah, and part of it, too, I think that one of the things I hear with clients pretty regularly is, you know, they're coming in, they're experiencing symptoms of depression and or anxiety, and one of the things that they'll say is, I don't know how to tap into that part of myself. And so we will do, in our sessions, just live experiences and really do a trial and error. Let's color. Let's figure out some things that we can do to tap into that. Because when you think about really several psychological disorders, the way that I like to describe it to clients is each of us have within us energy. And for some of us, we kind of allow life stress from the outside to enter our internal space. And over time, without releasing that energy, we will either explode in the form of irritability, frustration, anger, or we will become so overwhelmed that we literally depress our inside, which can result in fatigue, in depression, in sleeplessness, and so many other mental and physical health outcomes. So part of engaging with our passions literally is connecting what is happening on the inside and allowing a space to release that on the outside. And when we do, we realize that we're able to strike a balance. And that in and of itself gives us energy to then explore and kind of figure out what are those things that really get us excited in life.
And so would you say that that's the best strategy to create that balance with the routines and obligations that we have on a day-to-day basis, which are very real?
Yeah, I think that, and I am a recovering control freak. So one of the things that I really love to do is schedule. And I've definitely relaxed some of the scheduling so that there's opportunity to just be free. But I do think it's important for us to schedule intentional time for exploration. Yes. So as you mentioned at the top of the show, one of the things that I frequently do is travel. And I always build in at least a day, no matter where I am in the world, one full day to literally just explore. I don't have a purpose. I don't really know. There's no plan. I don't have a specific aim in mind. But the whole goal is to explore the city and allow myself to soak in the sights, the smells, the experiences that I encounter, because what I'm doing is really a bit of investigation. As I wander yes. through the city streets, I'm thinking, oh, that sight really stimulated something in me. Wow. Or that evoked some sort of response. Well, I love the way that sounds. Oh, my goodness, this experience with this person really connected with me. And if you think about exploration in this way, it becomes really a source of information. So allowing yourself to explore gives you information. And then you can say, huh, I realized on this journey today that I really love X, Y, and Z. And that information lets me know this may be something that is tapping into a passion that I may not have realized previously.
Right.
So it is important to be intentional about exploration in our lives.
Yeah, and I love that because, and to go into that without any anticipation of specific outcome and
yeah.
to be open to anything that may come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's important.
Yeah, we live in such a straightforward step one, two, three kind of life that it's important
yes.
that we really try to suspend that for a moment. You may not be able to spend all day doing that, but at least scheduling some time every day to literally just allow yourself to be open without any
yeah.
sort of preconceived notions or expectations. It really helps to free your mind. And it helps, again, you to be able to tap into things that you may not even be aware of because of your day-to-day stressors and experience.
You know, it's interesting. I had this conversation with a client of mine probably about 10 days ago, and she's kind of like ready to move on to that next stage of life and looking for that next thing to do. And
mm-hmm.
Just getting frustrated that she's unable to find it. But what we discovered in chatting was that each of those experiences she was going into, not realizing it, putting the pressure on her with the intention of, is this going to be it? And
mm-hmm.
so she was so in her head about, you know, the activity she was doing and is this going to be my next thing, that
mm-hmm.
she lost the enjoyment of the actual experience. So it wasn't
yeah.
really, she wasn't really there. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I've had her do is just to try different things, but go into it with absolutely no expectation other than to just have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're saying. And it's made such a big difference because now she's found something that she's loving to do that she never would have thought of, you know,
mm-hmm.
on a logical, rational level, so to say.
Yeah, and I think this is relevant to so many people. I work with college students in one of my private practices, and one of the things that comes up for them is not being sure of their major and their career path and being
right.
so wedded to the actual outcome that they forget about the experience and the journey. And so I do the exact same things that you're talking about, which is helping them really experience the moment by moment, take in bits and pieces of information from every class experience, every social interaction that they have, that then becomes the information for them to say, hey, wow, I've noticed that I love connecting with people. I love listening to the person's stories. I love the creativity that I discover as I talk to people and the creativity I have in those conversations. I'm wondering if this may be the major. So it's not about what is my major. It's what am I actually passionate about naturally. Then how can I use those passions to create a path that's going to resonate
right.
and actually give me longevity in life, in my career?
Yes. And in order to do that, we need to be present.
Mm-hmm.
So we
yeah.
can't be doing something and thinking about the errands you need to do at the end of the day or the people that you need to call or you know, the things that need to get done at home, because it takes away from the experience. And
absolutely.
I think in today's world where there are so many distractions and just so many things pulling us in different directions, that most people are not very present in anything that they're doing.
That's absolutely correct. One of the things that I tell my students, well, one of the questions I'm frequently asked by my students is, Dr. Harris, how did you eventually get into grief and loss? Like, did you know that you'd be working with death and dying for a career? And I tell them the story of me finishing my undergraduate degree, knowing in my mind exactly what I wanted to do, and I was on that linear track of, this is who I'm going to be, this is what I'm going to do. Then I had an opportunity to work in a hospital with kids diagnosed with cancer, and as I encountered different moments with them in the hospital, I noticed that I kept stumbling upon either situations surrounding death or situations surrounding grief and loss, and I kind of held that. I wasn't sure what to do with it at the time, but I realized over time that kept happening over and over again. And then I thought, wow, okay, let me sit back and think about all these experiences. And it dawned on me, this is actually where my passion is, helping people in really difficult times and being available and giving them the space to be able to talk about that, which is kind of a rare sort of niche in psychology. And that became my new path. But if you had asked me a decade ago if that's what I'd be doing, I would have said absolutely not. So part of it was being mindful of what was going on and being open to shifting in the middle of my path, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And then the other thing that I want to go back to is, you know, what you shared about, you know, when you go on, when you travel and you you schedule that day just to explore and that aspect. And if you think about how much effort and time and thought we put into planning a vacation, right? And, you know, maybe for some people it's only once a year that they get to do that. But if we had to put a similar intention and effort into, as you say, doing something on a daily basis and allowing the time to explore and just kind of be, what an impact and difference that could make for people.
Yeah, it's amazing how building in 5 minutes. So when I work with my clients on one particular day of the week, I started off seeing patients back to back, you know, because I wasn't, you know, thinking I want to see patients and see as many folks as I can and provide services.
Right.
Then it dawned on me how ridiculous that was for me, because I wasn't, first of all, just having the mental space between folks. I needed more of that. And also I thought, you know, I'm getting overwhelmed and kind of burdened with all of the back-to-back experiences. So now, instead of doing the back-to-back, I build in about half an hour, which means I see less people on that day. However, that 30 minutes is designed for me to take a step out of the office space, walk around the vicinity, and really soak in so that I can come back in refueled and reminding myself, yes, this is my passion. These are the things that I want to do. Or I actually have gotten some great brain thoughts like, wow, oh, this is a direction I might want to take in this next session. So it's actually given me passionate thoughts that I can then apply in the moment when the next person comes. And so it is possible to build in time, but we've got to be intentional about it. Because as you mentioned, life will completely overwhelm us if we're not careful, and distractions will take us away from these things. So we've got to be intentional about scheduling time to prioritize ourselves and our passions.
Yes, and understanding the importance of that. Because if you don't see it as important, then you're not going to do it. And
no,
I think so many people, you know, live by their calendar and feel that every spot on, if every spot on their calendar isn't filled in, then they're not being productive, they're not being effective. And the reality is, if anything, it's making them less productive and less effective in whatever it is that they're doing. And
yeah, our society completely reinforces the calendar, full schedule, busyness. But I'm actually working on an ebook, and one of the themes of the book is busyness, BUSY-NESS, is not
yes.
the same as business. It's not the same as business.
Right. I love that.
And I think
yes.
that we get caught up in busyness, thinking that we're doing
yes.
business, which
yes,
we're not.
Absolutely.
As you said, yeah, we actually end up being counterproductive because we don't have time for that creative space to tap into our passions, which are going to give us the fuel to actually do the things that we want to do in life.
Mm-hmm. And I think for some people as well, and I've had this come up with actually quite a few clients lately, is that busyness is a great way to avoid things that they don't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
so, whether they realize it, and actually most of them didn't realize that that's what they were doing, but when I broached it that way, it was so obvious to them that that's what they were doing. And by being busy, it kind of
mm-hmm.
legitimizes that we're not wasting time, and we just don't have time for that other stuff. In fact, we actually are consciously making ourselves or helping ourselves to avoid those other things that we know that we really need to get a handle on.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think that passion is one of those things that we talk about in society and we say that we desire to have that, but I think a lot of folks are afraid of that word. Because when we think about passion, we think of being unstructured, free, kind of no boundaries. And while that's exciting,
right.
that's also frightening in the sense that,
mm-hmm.
or it can be frightening because there's no bounds and there's no structure
yeah.
and there may be no limits. So I think
mm-hmm.
having a conversation with folks around how can we excite our passions still within boundaries. Like, passion doesn't mean that we're just
yeah.
out in the world floundering, but it does mean that we're able to tap into that freedom and then provide a boundary-structured space to be able to exercise our passion. That's where we want to be. And so really figuring out, like, what that person is avoiding by not igniting the passions inside of them is a really important conversation. That's such an excellent point.
Right. Thank you so much. Like, I cannot believe we are so at the end of the show. It has been amazing chatting to you. I would love to have you back on the show if you'd like to and come back and chat about more of that more. So I'll connect with you offline to set that up. But in the meantime, if you could just let our listeners know where they can find out more about you or connect with you mm-hmm. if they'd like.
Absolutely. I have a website, which is www.mikelharrisphd.com, and that's MEKELHARRISPHD.com. I'm also on Twitter, and my handle is Dr. Mikel, DrMekel, and I have a Facebook page. I'm so excited. I'm about 70 days into this brand-new professional Facebook page where I'm
awesome.
Sharing all about health and wellness topics and helping people achieve balance. And that's facebook.com/Dr. Mikel. So I also want to mention quickly that I have a memoir coming out very soon. I'm so excited. So I'll be an author officially very soon.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah,
that
charting
is awesome.
My own. Yeah, charting my own journey of grief since the death of my mom in 2012. So I would love to connect offline. Any questions related to health and wellness, I'd be more than
okay.
happy. Share.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren.
No, my pleasure. So I just wanted to literally run out of time, so I'm just very quickly going to wrap up the show. Thank everyone for listening in today. Remember that if you would like to download or listen to any previous shows, you can go to iTunes and download the podcast. And you can connect with me either on my Facebook page, facebook.com/LaurenJorna, or via my website, laurenjorna.com, where you can also download a copy of my free 7-day mini transformation mastery program. and just wanted to thank you again for joining me this week and hope you'll be back next week. And until then, remember to embrace your inner truth, live your purpose, and make your contribution in the world today.
You've been listening to Life's Issues with Lauren Jano on the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.